We've been doing Advent, which means Christmas is coming a lot sooner than I want it to be, because I haven't really started Christmas shopping, but I'm a procrastinator. I work better under pressure. So, you know, I just need the pressure of like, oh my gosh, it's December 23rd. Oh no. But it's Advent. Advent is actually a word we borrowed from Latin, and it means coming. And as we have been waiting and preparing for Christmas and this Christmas season, the people we're going to be reading about and learning about in the Bible today, we're preparing and waiting for the coming Savior. And as we also continue to wait for him to come again. So if we want to cue up that video.
Wait. Someone has to watch the sheep. What are you talking about? Someone has to watch the sheep. They're sheep, okay? They eat, they poop, they sleep. They'll be fine, let's go.
That is the same thing that you said when you wanted to go see the Mutton and Sons concert and we saw it and we lost half our flock.
We lost half Sam! Angels, they just popped out of the sky and instead of sprinting to Bethlehem, you're all like, no, we gotta take care of the sheep. What about their abandonment issues?
Hey guys, I'm gonna race you, okay? Last one there is the stinky loin one. Let's go!
Look, okay? The angels are there, okay? That's what they do. That's why we call them guarding angels.
No, it's guardian angels. Guardian.
Tomato! Who cares? Why are we still standing here?
Someone needs to watch the sheep. You know it, I know it, and the sheep know it.
Sheep don't peel.
You can't prove that. Fine. There's only one way to solve this. Rob Parchment shears, loser stays with the sheep.
Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Rock, parchment, shears, shoot!
Today, in the town of David, a Savior will be born unto you.
Right.
Why did the angel say that? Why did the angel tell a bunch of lowly shepherds about the coming of the Messiah? I mean, why us?
I don't know why us, but they did. So maybe this Messiah didn't just come for people that matter. Maybe he came for people like us, which is all the more reason why we need to go.
I know, and I want to. It's just a lot to take in. It's been a crazy night.
Did you see how fast I was running? Over there, I was like a lightning bolt. But no, you guys are never gonna believe this. I forgot my good cloak. Can you imagine me meeting the Messiah without my good cloak?
Let me bottom line this for you. I, for one, cannot not go see this Messiah. Okay? So if what you're saying is that I, instead of seeing the man who's going to change everything, have to stay here and sheep sit, well, that just won't work for me.
You're right. Before we go, I'm not trying to nitpick, but you said cannot not, and that's a double negative. It is. Promise me, when we go meet the Messiah, you cannot not talk like that. Promise me you won't talk like that to the Messiah. Promise me. Promise. He's a baby. He's in swaddling clothes.
I don't think he's going to care how we do.
Okay, me talk pretty. Let's go.
Wait. I think I just solved our problem.
What are you guys still doing here? What are you waiting for? It's the King of Kings, okay? So less standy, more runny.
Hey, take a knee. We were playing Rock, Parchment, Shears.
Oh, yeah.
You lost.
That video is awesome. I was watching it in my office before, like, obviously before, to make sure it wasn't weird. And I was like, awesome, I got the funny one. Yeah. Oh, awesome. Oh, I don't know what this is saying. I don't know about you guys, but I love Christmas. I love seeing the stores all decorated. I love seeing the Starbucks red cups. I love going, like, in my car and hearing all the Christmas music and seeing the houses all decorated. I love Christmas. And there's a certain, like, magic in the air. And you can feel it. I'm, like, shopping at the Bay. It's got the trees decorated and the music's playing. And there's something special about Christmas. There's a certain magic in the air, and it captures my heart every single year. I love it. But there's also the flip side of the coin. As lovely and as magical as Christmas is, there's the flip side of it. There's the dark side. So as light as it is, there's kind of the darker side of Christmas. And I was actually watching Jingle All the Way last night. I don't know if you've seen it. It's with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's pretty funny. He's like this like busy businessman, and he has to find his son, the Turbo Man. I got to find the I won't do an Arnold. I won't do an Arnold impersonation today. But he has to find the Turbo Man for his son, and he's frantically searching all over town because it's the hottest toy of the year and it's sold out everywhere. And people are getting pretty cutthroat about the Turbo Man. The flip side of Christmas is there's the hustle and the bustle, there's the debt, the impulsive need to buy the best gifts, have the best turkey. Look, when I go see my family, I try to look presentable because I haven't seen them in a year. I was like, oh, better get a haircut, better look nice, I want to look great. There's the road rage, the lines. Honestly, I even start getting annoyed of Christmas songs by the time it's Christmas. There's the flip side of the coin. And this is actually one of my first years away from home during Christmas. And I'm experiencing a lot of loneliness at Christmas. I've been to 4 Christmas and holiday parties, and you know, I've been almost the only one who was there without a date or by myself, alone. And it kind of turns into couples events. My family sent me a picture of the house all decorated, and it looked lovely, and I noticed all the stockings were up, but mine wasn't there. I know, it's so depressing. It's kind of depressing at the holiday season if you're a single person. I'm not single, I have a fiance, but he lives in Abbotsford, so I don't even get to see him. It's kind of depressing when you're alone. It kind of sucks. And your situation might not be the same as mine, but you might actually also be experiencing the same suckiness that I'm experiencing. And I used to always think, why don't people like the holidays? I don't get it. Because I always loved the holidays growing up. I always loved being with my family and seeing our tree up and having my stocking filled. I always thought, how can people not like the holidays? And this year, for the first time ever, I get it. The holidays have actually made me feel kind of self-conscious and lonely and made me feel like I'm not good enough. And, you know, I don't make that much money, so I can't buy the nicest of gifts. It makes me feel lonely and bad about myself. And that's just my reasons. I know we all have our different reasons. Some of us love it, and it's a fun, happy time. And some of us don't. And I think we've all had times where we haven't been the biggest fan of the holidays, or we haven't loved every aspect of Christmas. I think we've all been there at some point. In a time that's supposed to bring so much joy. And we listen to songs on the radio, like, joy to the world and have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year because you're with family and friends. And it's like, no, I'm not. What? Maybe I'm not having a holly jolly time. We hear all these songs over and over again. And sometimes I wonder why we aren't all feeling uncontainable joy. How do we find joy in the holidays again? How do we not be consumed by endless lists and things we have to do and things we need to get done before the family comes? And, oh, is the family coming at all this year? Oh, is there going to be a giant family fight this year? I know my family. There's some pretty heated fights at Christmas. Probably just my family. We're weird. But how do we find joy again instead of anxiety and endless lists and self-consciousness? If you guys open up your Bibles, we're going to be reading from Luke 2. Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. It's kind of a long portion, so stay with me here. And throughout the week, when I was kind of researching for this sermon and looking up different things, God was really, really speaking to me through these verses. God was really, really showing me the heart of his joy in this holiday season. So Luke 2. Am I doing that? How do I make it stop? Okay. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were laying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had to say to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Joy. Which seems so contrary to what I'm feeling this year. It's kind of depressing writing a whole sermon about joy when I'm depressed. But there's these funny things humanity has done. There's this really... We have a certain knack for taking really simple, easy, and digestible concepts and overcomplicating them and making them hard and making them into systems and processes. Even just one thing I think about is our faith, is Christianity. It's something that is so simple and so beautiful and so easy to understand. But a lot of the times the church has overcomplicated it and made it into systems and processes, and you got to do this and this and that and that. But you don't. You just got to find yourself back at the feet of Jesus, and you're good to go. It's actually way more simple than it has to be. That's one of the things we've overcomplicated. Another one of them is Christmas. We've made it into lists and presents and even a family holiday. And it's not that family's bad, but that's not the center and the heart of Christmas. That's not the center and the heart and what will bring us joy. See, my family is really great, and they're really wonderful, but guess what? They're humans, and they're always going to let me down at some point or another. They're never going to be perfect. I can never find perfect joy and peace within them. And that's what Christmas has kind of become, saying, oh, it's all about the family. And it is. Family is important, don't get me wrong, but that's not the center and the heart of it. And if that's what you're finding... In Christmas, if that's what you're defining as Christmas, is that's what you're defining as the cornerstone this holiday season, you're not going to find joy. Like me, you're not going to find joy in it, because that's not what it's truly about. Christmas is a season where we celebrate every single year the most amazing and awesome thing that has ever happened to humanity. God incarnate came to earth, humbled himself, our perfect, omnipotent, omniscient, holy, creator of everything, divine and just God, humbled himself as a man to pay a price that was rightfully ours, lived a perfectly sinless life to pay a price we could never pay, to give us freedom and liberty and joy and eternal life. That is what we're celebrating every year. And slowly over the years, it has digressed into a commercial, gift-giving family holiday. You see, no matter what, no matter where you are at life, no matter if you're single or taken, alone or with a big old family, no matter what, you can find joy in the fact that our perfect, omnipotent, holy, awesome God came to earth, humbled himself as a man. You can find joy in that no matter what. So when I find myself not finding joy this holiday season, it's often because I'm putting my value in the wrong place. I'm putting my hope in the wrong people. I'm putting my salvation into the things of this earth and not into what it's truly about. Amen. But there's so many people. Our whole culture has adopted it and kind of changed it into something it's not. Into a family holiday and blah, 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 blue, 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 la, la, la. And we're wondering why depression's going up. And we're wondering why people aren't happy. And we're wondering why loneliness and isolation's going up. And it's because we've taken what God made to be a beautiful thing and made it into what we want it to be. And made it a little bit more digestible for everyone. And I love to have people participating, but it's become something it's not meant to be. The center of our joy and the joy they talk about in Luke 2, the joy of the world, is that the Savior was born. And that Savior's blood is still covering all of our sins today. That same Savior that was born right there. His blood and what he did and what he accomplished is still relevant today, and it is still working in our lives today. That same Savior that was for the people then is for us now. Our joy is that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that none could perish but could enter into eternal life. The family and presence is important, but the center, absolutely not. And that's the thing with joy. Joy by nature is very different than happiness. And we're going to have a little slide up here that shows the difference. So our happiness is usually situational, short-lived, based on earthly experiences, and an outward expression of elation. You know, we've all felt happiness. I felt happiness when I opened my presents last year and found a new cell phone, and my old cell phone was really crappy. So I was like, yes, I really needed this. But that happiness faded. I took for granted my phone. My phone is now getting kind of old, and it's got cracks in it because I drop it everywhere. Our happiness is situational and usually dependent on the things of this world. Happiness isn't bad, but it's certainly different from joy. I get happiness from seeing my family. I get happiness from spending Christmas dinner with them. I get happiness from seeing their faces when I give them gifts, and it makes me really happy. That's happiness, and that's great. But joy is very different. Joy is this all-encompassing, not dependent on your situation thing. It's an attitude and an outlook, a spiritual experience, caring for others, and gratitude, and inward peace and contentment. See, joy is different than happiness because it doesn't depend on my situations. There are times when my life sucks and I should be by no means feeling joy. But I do because I have that inner peace in my heart. I have times where I'm just barely making rent and it's hard. I don't feel happy about it, but you can't take away that joy I have. You can't take away that Holy Spirit who lives in my heart. You cannot take away that salvation I found. You can't take that away based on my situation. I'll always have that joy. I'll always have that peace. I'll always have that Holy Spirit within me and giving me a different attitude, experience, and gratitude. Our joy is even bigger than that. We have joy because we have a hope that's greater than anything in this world. We have a hope that's beyond our families and beyond our presence under the tree. We have a hope of eternity with our Savior. And we have a blessed hope that he's coming back. Well, a promise that he's coming back. Not further than a hope, it's a promise. Joy only comes from knowing the true reason for the season. C.S. Lewis once said, joy is a serious business in the kingdom of heaven. And it is. Joy is. In these verses, God reveals three reasons on why we can find joy this holiday season. Number one is Christmas magnifies the love of God. We have a God who's very unique from a lot of other gods and other stories I've read about other gods. We don't have a God who sits afar and judges us from his throne way far away and doesn't really care about our lives. We don't have a God who punishes us based on what's happening in the heavenly realm and God's getting into arguments. We have a God who's very different than that. We have a God who loves us so much that he humbled himself to come and to save us, who left his perfect heavenly realm. He left his perfectness to come in the form of a baby. We have a God who is so perfect and so much better than we are. And in my opinion, I don't think I'm worthy of his love, but in his opinion, somehow I am. Somehow all of us are. We have a God who calls us friend, who calls us co-heirs, sons and daughters. We have a God who made us way bigger and better than we should be, who views us way more highly than we ought to be viewed. We have a God who loves, truly, truly loves us. Christmas magnifies his love because yearly we come together and dedicate a whole season to remember how much our God loves us and all of humanity, to pay something none of us could pay. I don't know any other God who came to the world to save humanity. And know that you did not come cheaply. You did not come from a half-price bin, from a Walmart rollback. No, you didn't come cheaply. You came from his very best. You came from all he could pay. You came, you're pretty expensive. And guess what? He would do it all again. You did not come cheaply. And that's what we celebrate. We celebrate that God came to earth. That's amazing. So it magnifies God. Number two, Christmas personifies the grace of God. As we talked about, God came as a free gift of grace, something we didn't earn but was freely given. And that free gift is for all people. But it especially highlights something I notice when I read the Gospels and read about Jesus' teachings, is Jesus especially highlights those who are down and out. He especially highlights not the uppity-ups and not the people who have it all together, but he seems to like to spend a little extra time with the people who are down and out. And it's amazing that the first people who heard that the Messiah had been born were shepherds. These were not the upper class of society. These are people who were physically and Jewish ceremonially unclean. These are people you wouldn't expect to hear about this good news first. You would maybe expect the religious leaders at the time, you know, the people who study the word in depth, the people who devoted their life to studying the word. You'd think they'd come to them first, but the Lord didn't announce it to them first. He announced it to the shepherds. Boy, that's weird. In modern day terms, it's, you know, he didn't announce it to Billy Graham or the Queen of England or Bethel staff first. No, he announced it to some homeless people at the soup kitchen. That's what it would be in modern day terms. Yeah, he told it to these guys who work in the sewer or something. That's who was announced first, and that's so telling of who our God is. See, the people who need to hear about the joy of the holiday season are the people who don't have joy. The people who need that joy and peace that the Lord brings are the people who don't really have it. People like me who are depressed and like, I'm so lonely. We need this joy that only God can bring. This joy that surpasses and just passes over our circumstances and what the world says we should be feeling, the joy that doesn't even make sense, but it's there. That's who needs it the most, is the shepherds of this world, people like me, people like all of us. That's who the Savior is for. And you know, something that stuck out to me in that video is when he was saying, oh, maybe the Savior is for people like us. Maybe the Savior is for the not-so-cool people in society. Maybe the Savior is for the down and outs. And he is. Christmas personifies God's grace. And number three, Christmas glorifies the Son. This one's just short and sweet, and then y'all can go to Boston Pizza and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. But true joy is found when we take our eyes off ourselves and put them on him. And it's so contrary to happiness, because I feel like happiness is often trying to find what suits our needs the best and what makes me happy. But joy is somehow when we stop looking at ourselves and put them on him, and all of a sudden, I'm happier than I've ever been. I have more joy than I've ever had before. Somehow joy happens when we take our eyes off of ourselves and put them back onto God. And when we glorify him, that is where our joy is found. It glorifies God. Really quick story about me and my life. Something I've been trying to practice lately is not viewing anything I have as my own, but it all belongs to God. So the paychecks I earn don't belong to me. They belong to God. The possessions I have, they don't belong to me. They belong to God. That little 1997 minivan I drive doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. God, how can I bless people with what I have? The little means I have, God, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. And you know what? I found more joy in that. And I haven't worried quite as much as I used to about my savings, but I'm worried much more about spending my money and my resources and everything I have into kingdom work. And I found a lot more joy in that. Joy is when we take our eyes off of ourselves and put them back onto God. And it's so backwards and it's so crazy, but for some reason it works. Christmas glorifies God because it takes our eyes off ourselves and puts them back onto him. Joy is remembering the true reason for the season and letting go of the things that are keeping us in bondage and being transformed by the perfect love of our Savior. This is going to sound kind of hippie and far out, but could we just close our eyes together? Could we close our eyes and imagine what our world would look like if we really took hold of this joy that we're talking about here? If our hurt and broken world, one that is looking for happiness but completely missing joy, if that world could take a hold of what the true joy is, can you imagine what our city would look like, what the South Okanagan would look, what our country would look like if we found our true joy and identity in God and in the verses we were just reading, in his perfect love, rather than the gifts under the tree and having the best decorated house and having an awesome turkey cooked and eating delicious fruitcake? Could you imagine what our world would look like if we took hold of what the true joy of the season is? I have a crazy feeling that depression and loneliness and hurting would go down a whole lot. Not that it would disappear forever, but I think it would go down a whole lot. There are some of us in here today that have lost that joy or maybe forgotten the true joy of the holiday season and where we find that.